Welcome, everyone, to episode 135 of Bike Club Show. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is a crazy Sunday. Hey, we're recording the show right before the latest Walking Dead episode. But that's okay, because last week's really super sad one we're going to talk about. And we also have episode 5 of The Vampire Diaries to recap. So just a reminder, this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. And you can find us, bikeclubshow.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow. bikeclubshow@gmail.com is our Twitter, and that's our email, and on Twitter it is @bikeclubshow. And we start each and every week with a wine selection of the week. I'm the only one drinking. I have a full bottle in front of me.
Not true. I'm drinking, but I'm not doing a review because I'm drinking my same wine that I drink. Oh. But you're not alone.
Good. Thank you for not. I don't want to be alone. All right. Well, my husband just pulled out this bottle. I was like, hey, let's have some wine. I could use some. And we don't know if we bought it or if someone gave it to us or whatever. But I do know it's $28. So it's a little bit on the higher side of the wine selections that we usually purchase. But it is called Four Cousins Vineyard. It's a Pinot Noir from Mariucci Farms. I don't know if that's popular or not, but this is a young vineyard. The wine is an elegant medium weight Pinot Noir with tastes of supple cherry, strawberry, and wild berry jam. This wine finishes with layers of complex flavors and a rich aftertaste. Let's see here. Yeah, it's 100% Pinot Noir. And you know what? It's really darn good. I'm actually glad that I'm drinking this right now. I feel like I should be having a steak or something with it. Something really rich. I don't have any food with me right now, but I know this is bad, right?
Or good. I don't know.
I definitely taste the cherry. It's got a nice, strong kind of bite to it at the end. You know, the finishing after you kind of like take that first sip. But it's really, really tasty. Whoever gave this to us, because I don't think we bought it. Thank you. And you can go to Mariucci Farms, MARCUCCIFARMS.com to find out more about this winery, which is located in Mount St. Helena, Russian River area. So, yeah, I actually would give this 4 fangs. It's really, really delicious. It better be 4 fangs for the $28 price. So.
Yeah, our rare 4 fangs.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good.
I was wondering if it was another one from your lot 18 stash, but this one was for sure a gift.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a gift. Tom would have told me, this is our other lot 18 stash, and he didn't. Anyway, it's really good. It's kind of weird. It's got like this family four or something. It looks like
4 cousins on the front.
Yeah, I guess with 4 cousins on the front. It must be, but there's like one that's super, really super young, and she probably shouldn't be drinking any wine, but...
Maybe they just put her to work.
Yeah, that's true. Might as well. Stomp the grapes. Take the grapes off the vine. Anyway, 4 fangs for 4 Cousins Vineyard and 2009 Pinot Noir. Really, really liked it. Okay, let's jump into our news. Now, Breaking Dawn opens this weekend, everybody. Just a reminder, it's really the only piece of news I have. Although all weekend I've seen Taylor Lautner Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart on all the talk shows, all the late night talk shows, on Ellen, on Live with Kelly and Michael, I think it is.
Kelly, like, and what's his face?
Yeah, so they're doing the big junket right now. They keep asking poor Taylor Lautner about, you know, taking off his shirt. Are you going to miss taking off your shirt? And I could tell he's just like, no. And he's sick of those questions. And have you guys been seeing any of these interviews at all?
Yeah, various ones. I do feel like they've been all over the place. I did read somewhere, I don't know where, but Taylor was like, I actually get to wear a shirt this time. Aren't you happy? Yeah, and I've seen they're getting a lot of the same questions all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, are you excited for, you know, the series to be over, blah, blah, blah. And it sounds like a lot of them are just so over it.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, yeah, I'm glad this is done. But obviously they're diplomatic and saying like, well, you know, this is my life for 5 years. And a part of me wants to just be done with it forever. But another part of them is like, well, this is like my family. in a way, so I wouldn't mind having another 5 years with these people. So
I haven't been able to catch any of them because, well, for one, I don't have cable, and also anything that I do catch, it would be on YouTube. I've been feeling the same way about any of the interviews that I have seen. It seems to me like they are ready to move on. They're ready to, you know, change their careers and quit being vampires for a while. So I'm looking forward to seeing what new stuff comes out, and I hope it's not as bad as some of their previous things that they've done.
What did you not like, Shannon?
What was that? The rocking one that Kristen Stewart was in. She was a rocking girl.
Whatever that one was.
Was
Jett.
A pretty bad movie.
I did enjoy how different she was though, because we've been saying that Kristen Stewart is always the same actress, and whether it be Twilight or Snow White or Into the Wild, she's just always the same girl. But I thought that in that movie where she played Joan Jett, she was quite different. Like, I couldn't believe it was her, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
but,
do agree.
But yeah, it was weird, though. I get that.
I would like to see them in some more mature movies, especially Taylor and Kristen. You know, Robert has had his, what was the movie with the elephant?
Oh, Wild with the Elephant.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous movie, and I loved it. But I haven't seen Kristen and Taylor do anything that I really, really liked. So I'm looking forward to seeing them branch out.
I think that we should watch Cosmopolis.
Oh, I do too. I really want to.
Oh, yeah.
But it's out in theaters on the 17th, I believe, isn't it? Maybe already out.
I don't remember. I knew it was coming. It was like limited release, and then it was supposed to release everywhere, and it was sort of, I don't know.
It has come out internationally, but the date for the United States, I'm not entirely sure. I could probably look it up. But but yeah, I think that one just looks entirely different than anything else I've seen from Robert Pattinson.
Okay. So,
excited about that.
Kristen bears it all, I guess, in On the Road, or she goes at least topless. And
scary,
and
really?
I think she's got a threesome in that, too.
Oh, my God.
Called On the Road. So it's a little risque, but that's coming out soon, too. Jack Kerouac, a book made into, brought to life. And then I don't know what Taylor Lautner's doing. I don't know if he's
More
got anything.
Abduction 2.
Oh, I never saw that. Did you see that?
That was so bad.
Was it?
Oh, you didn't watch it. I didn't even watch it.
Oh, it is? Oh, God. Now we have no excuse.
It is so bad.
Oh, no. Okay.
Is it just not believable? Or
do you just excuse if you're just like at home and have nothing better to do?
Really? Oh, yeah. Man. Because there's a bunch of other movies that I want to watch when I have nothing better to do. But now I don't know if I want to see this one if you said it was so bad.
God, the only movies I remember Taylor Lautner from aside from Twilight are like those like Valentine's Day.
Yes, I saw that one.
And the one where he was with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's the
one.
Yeah.
And then Abduction. I don't know what else is going on with him.
Yeah, I don't either. Now you guys have like forced me to look him up on IMDb. Taylor Lautner. And then I'm going to go to IMDb and his next project is... Oh, crap. I have to go into it. Oh, wait. Grown Ups 2.
Oh, God.
And Tracers. Okay, Grown Ups 2. I didn't even know there was a Grown Ups 1. Oh, Adam Sandler. A follow-up on the 2010 comedy about a group of childhood friends who reunite years later. Oh, so this is the one with Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, David Spade. So they're going to do a part two. And then, oh, he plays a frat boy. Okay.
Good choice, man.
And then Tracers, 2014. He's the only one cast so far. Wanted by the Mafia, a New York City bike messenger escapes into the world of parkour after meeting a beautiful stranger.
Of what core?
Parkour, you know, P-A-R-K-O-U-R. Parkour, you know, you bounce off the walls.
Oh, I was like, okay.
This sounds terrible. Oh, my God.
I feel embarrassed. I just looked up Cosmopolis' launch date, release date. It was August 17th, not November.
But that wasn't worldwide. Was it worldwide? I thought that was limited.
No, that's an American audience.
American
audience should see the movie. So.
Okay, well, that should be coming on like Netflix soon or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. I hope that it was good, or at least just not horrible. It didn't get. Someone could hear. Got a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what about Rotten Tomatoes or anything. But.
All right. One thing that you're looking forward to in Breaking Dawn. One scene. Either of you, go first.
Oh gosh, anything Renesmee, obviously, and some surprise ending that they keep talking about. I just want to know what this surprise ending
oh,
is.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Ooh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're looking forward to, Shannon?
I don't even know. I haven't read the book in so long.
Badass Bella fighting.
Yes. And, hunting. I can't wait for the hunting scene. The first hunting scene.
Yeah, that'll be really good. I want to see the complete arm wrestling scene.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
The awkward moment where Jacob has to tell Bella and Edward that he's in love with their baby.
So we're basically looking forward to all the humorous stuff.
Yes.
Awesome.
I don't really care about the Volturi because it's sort of like irrelevant to me. It's like, She was not bitten. She was born, just like Bella says. It's so like such a misunderstanding because of that stupid vampire, Alaskan vampire.
Drama.
Creating all this drama for nothing. God, such a misunderstanding. Everybody, you know, slow your roll, okay?
Whoa, girl.
Telling you, this Mariucci Farms wine, very good. Okay, so anyway, Breaking Dawn is opening this coming weekend, and we are all going to watch it and report back after we do. So, okay, I've been dying. Oh, I hate to use that word. Dying to talk about The Walking Dead, episode 4. It's funny, this episode is called Killer Within, and the Vampire Diaries episode that we're about to recap afterwards is called The Killer. Lots of killing in both these episodes. Okay, let's talk about episode 4 of The Walking Dead. Can we just, this is, to me, probably the best episode they've done so far. And there's Agreed. Still a lot of season left. First of all, this is the best season. First season was pretty great, but
This one's really good, though.
Yeah, it really ramps up. We get back to the prison. You guys, last time we recapped, you guys, we miss everybody at the prison. Guess what? We're back there. And the first thing we see is like, and you can tell it's a prisoner who's sort of luring zombies in somehow. And, you know, I kind of knew that was going to wreak havoc. And essentially, one of the prisoners that is still alive leads all these zombies into the prison and surprises, you know, our merry band of what do we call them? Rick's team?
Merry band of travelers.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not really merry, honestly, but it's Rick's camp. Pretty much, you know, surprises Rick's camp and all hell breaks loose. I mean, it is insane. Yeah. It's like that scene where you see, I don't know, I can't remember what exactly they were doing, but then you see Carl and all of a sudden behind Carl, all of these zombies start coming into this area.
I was like, how could you not see them? They were so close.
I know.
And then Rick just, he just freaks out and starts running along the perimeter to try to get to his family, pretty much.
And before
he had to run such a long way.
Yeah, the desperation in his face, though, is really believable.
What were they doing? I forget. They were trying, I can't remember what they were doing. Were they needed to leave and go somewhere, or they were trying, I can't remember exactly why they left. Because everything else was so much more. It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
And even before that, everybody was like, "Oh, look, Herschel's walking! Yay!" You know, everybody's like, "Yay!" You know, like some hope.
Yeah, everybody was in a good mood, and even Glenn goes, "Man, why can't we just have a good day?"
Yeah.
I was a side note. I was super proud of Herschel. I mean, not only was he walking around, but he was like cracking jokes.
Yep.
Carl, and also he fought zombies.
He did.
His crutch.
He did. Totally did.
He did
that
great.
Was pretty awesome.
Okay. So the whole, you know, camp gets split up because they're just trying to, you know, protect themselves. So Herschel and his daughter is caught up in a, I don't know, they're able to kind of lock themselves in this area. And I was hoping, please tell me there's no zombies coming through that door. But they're pretty safe and they're just kind of stuck there. They can't really do anything. Otherwise, they're going to get out there. You know, he's crippled and they're probably going to get eaten. So they kind of have to stay there, stay safe. So Carl, Maggie, and Lori run another way. And then
they get pushed inside the building, like into all these different hallways. And Carl is just, you know, he's the man of the group at this point. He's got the gun. He's, you know, going first, making sure halls are clear and telling them this way or that way. And I was just like, oh, this little Carl, he has to grow up so fast. Like,
I he's know. Protecting the ladies. Yeah. And then T-Dog and what's the other woman's? Beth? No. Yes.
I forgot.
Is it Beth? I can't remember. The older
lady.
The
one that's supposed to.
Carol.
Yeah, Carol. Yeah, she's supposed to deliver the baby. But
yeah, they run another way. And then Glenn, Rick, Daryl, they're all, you know, everybody's trying to get in as fast as they can back to where everybody is. But everybody's getting split up.
Yeah. And they're with the two prisoners as well.
Oh, right. I forgot about the two prisoners. Yeah. And then before this mess, I remember T-Dog was talking about, well, what if we let the two prisoners into our camp? And Rick was like, no, we can't trust them.
Everyone said no, except for T-Dog.
Right. He was the only one who felt bad. And the two prisoners that were talking to him, keep in mind, there was a third. and they were like, dude, you know, we really want to help out. We want to be here on your team. And Rick was like, no, you know, and he, I can't remember.
Them.
Yeah. I can't remember the example he gave, but he gave like a real life example. Of,
yeah.
Like,
he's,
you know,
like,
how
do you want Maggie's blood on your hands or would you have it on theirs or something? Right. Like, and then T-Dog was like, well, I don't want any of that. I don't want anybody's blood on anyone's hands.
And T-Dog was definitely still conflicted, but Rick just made that decision. Mm-hmm. So essentially they're all split up. It's crazy. Let's just go and just jump right into Maggie, Carl, and Lori because they're running in the tunnel. It's like scary everywhere they turn. And then all of a sudden he gets into a boiler room and then the door doesn't really close all the way. I'm like, is that smart? I know. Cause he couldn't close it. It wouldn't close all the way. And I'm like, oh my God, are they going to get eaten in there or not? I mean, I guess the zombies just sort of like kept going and you know, didn't
smell.
They're
not smart enough to actually open handles, I guess.
Right. I guess not, yeah.
But, I mean, luckily nobody came in there, but not so luckily Lori started having her labor pains.
I know, of course. Yeah. Of course this would happen. Carol's not there. Herschel's not there.
And Maggie, poor Maggie is freaked out because she realizes she's going to have to help Lori. And mm-hmm. she's like, she got to the point where she's like, Lori, you're going to have to take off your pants. Like, let's just do this. And then Lori.
Well, luckily Herschel had trained Maggie to do it. So she knew what to do. She had just never done it before. So yeah, she was really nervous.
Yeah. And then Lori was impressive too, because she straight up like, no, I'm not going to lay down. She's going to try to give birth standing up. And I was like, oh my God.
Why did she choose standing up over laying down?
Oh no, but I just was reading my anthropology book just the night before.
Uh-huh.
And it said that, like, you know, in like 80% of other countries or other cultures, they do it squatting.
Oh.
And I don't know if this is like still true today or not, because this book was written a while ago. But there's lots of places in the world where women give birth squatting. And so I thought, oh, maybe Lori's just doing that because she can actually hold on to something when she's she's pushing. She doesn't want to carry her own weight.
Right.
I don't know. What do I know? I don't have any kids.
Interesting. I don't either. So, okay. Well, at this point, it's sort of dire straits, and Carl doesn't know what to do. Everybody's freaking out, and then she has to deliver the baby, and then at some point, Lori's like, you have to cut me open.
Yeah, because Lori, right before they cut to commercial in the middle, there was blood. She was hemorrhaging, and there was too much blood, and they figured out that yeah, like what you said, she has to give birth by getting cut open with Carl's dirty-ass knife, which is... But then at that point, it's like, I think that they accepted, you know, if she's going to be cut open, she's not going to make it.
Right. Okay, so the scene when she's telling Carl he's a good boy and it's the best thing that she's ever had, I mean, that was pretty heart-wrenching.
I cried. So sad.
And I'm just sitting there like, what? Is this really happening? And I don't know. I was very emotional at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just watch. That was a great scene. I mean, it was a beautiful scene between the two of them. And, man, Carl, you know, was like, no, no, no. And took it like a man. When Maggie cut her open, I almost
screamed.
I almost threw up. It was like, oh my God.
But part of me was just like, I screamed and I was like, oh my God, that's so fast. But in a way, it's good that she did it fast, because I was like, well, I would not want her to do that slowly because it's so painful. And then Maggie just did it.
And then the whole time I'm like, I'm not hearing the baby cry. I'm not hearing the baby cry. Where is the baby crying? Come on, cry. And then
finally,
weren't you nervous? And then Maggie does a little push on the chest and then it starts crying. And I'm like, oh my God. And then, you know, the decision, she was like, you know, I could tell Maggie and Carl, they knew. And then Carl just said, no, she's my mom, she's or my whatever. Mom. And just, you know, take the baby and leave. And then he did what he had to do. And that is going to haunt him, I feel like, for the rest of his
Carl
life.
Is ruined. And he just went silent when they, and if it's okay to skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
When the group came together again and they saw Rick, I think Rick finally broke down when he looked at Carl and he realized, I mean, there weren't the words said, but I interpret it as Rick saw what, he realized that Carl had to kill his mom.
Yeah.
And that's when he just like broke down.
I feel like with Rick, there's so much pain for him because he never got to actually have that talk that he really needed to have with Lori. And now he's never going to get that chance to. And I was just, to be honest, I was just bawling by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
I was so, so sad for everybody.
Oh, yeah. And man, Andrew Lincoln at the end, when he just lost it. When he knew, I was like, I can't even. And Maggie's crying. And oh, everybody. And everybody's just standing there after the aftermath of it all. I was like, holy crap. This is such a great. I mean, I personally was so sad. And just like, wow, what a downer. But God dang it. That was such a good episode. And
yeah.
Way to go. The writers and, you know, the stakes. I mean, people are going to die. That's just the way it is. And I kind of was like, I don't know how Lori's going to survive, period. I'm sure something's going to go wrong or the baby will die or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, at this point with the previews for next week, it's like, baby needs to eat. How is the baby going to eat? There's no milk from mama, you know? It's like, oh, shoot. So can't have a little zombie baby going around. But yeah, that was... just, I mean, that episode just like really just, I don't know, what a punch to the gut, that whole episode.
Yeah.
But it just, this whole season to me has so much more of the, you know, everyone's life is on the line. This is crazy. This world has gone mad. And, you know, at any point you could die if you don't, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like just the stakes and like the reality of a situation like this, if this should ever happen to the world, is much more real than it was sitting in the farm last season forever doing a bunch of character, you know, sort of portrayals, which I think is important too, to get to know a lot of the characters. But I still think that there could have been a little bit more action. And
what happened to the girl that T-Dog was protecting?
Carol.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
remember she ran and then Daryl found the scarf?
Yeah.
And so
I think we don't know where she went.
I think we're led to believe that she died, but I don't think that seems right. Like, she must not be totally gone because it just doesn't seem right. She should get a death scene. T-Dog got eaten by zombies to save her.
Right. So going back to the other characters, T-Dog just sort of sacrificed himself because he'd already been bitten on the shoulder. And it's like, what are they going to do? Going to chop his arm off? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. And so he knew it. And then he just gave himself up for Carol, who ran the other way and was freaking out watching him go the other way. That's just a lot already. Let's go to Michonne and Andrea, who are basically going to leave, right? They're thinking about leaving.
Well, Michonne is.
Yeah, Michonne is. Yeah, Andrea's having, she's still giving those goo-goo eyes. I thought they were going to sleep together in this episode or something, to the governor, that is.
Yeah, I mean, they were drinking.
They were going to kiss.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. But it feels like Andrea is she's fishing for reasons to try to stay.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she thinks it's not that bad. I feel like she's intrigued by the governor. And in fact, I think, I don't know if it's in a preview or this episode where she tells Michonne, like, oh, let's just stay another day. It's just one more day.
It was this one.
Yeah. So I don't really know what's going to happen, but they're supposed to be leaving. And what's his face? Merle is also leaving because he wants to find Daryl. And it's not entirely clear to me on if Michonne and Andrea are going to help find Daryl as well.
And
I think props to Michelle just because she was so suspicious of the governor. And then she actually went over to one of those army trucks that he had picked up from the guys that he had killed in the last episode. And she was actually like inspecting it and looking at different things. Yeah, she found blood that was still wet, and she found those bullet holes in the car, and she was like, huh, weird. I wonder if zombies just learned how to shoot guns. And he was just like, yeah, I think something happened a few weeks ago to them.
Weeks ago.
She has every right to not trust him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, weeks ago. That's what he told her. She has every right to not trust him. It's just Michonne trying to figure out a way to tell Andrea a way to figure it out and say, hey, this is what's going on, but not make Andrea feel, you know, stupid for believing the governor.
Totally. Totally. Do you think Merle kind of likes Andrea?
Kinda.
There's a little like that, yeah?
He actually said, why didn't we ever hook up? And she kind of like laughed it off, you know, because she said, because you're a jerk or whatever, insert insult here. But things seem a little softer between them.
Yeah, Andrea's no wonder she's liking it. She's getting attention from boys. She's showered and changed. She's like,
her
whoa.
Hair looks nice. Yeah. I don't know how her hair looks so good.
It's natural. Yeah. And then we find out the governor's name, Philip. Remember that? He's like, oh, Philip.
I thought you don't tell your name to anybody. Yeah, shut up.
Oh, man. Anyway, go ahead.
How was she in his home and she didn't see the aquariums of heads? Wasn't that by the front door?
I thought it was in the bedroom. Yeah, in the back. Oh, yeah, didn't he like romantic. Walk past the fireplace and there's a bunch of pictures of his family and then he goes into that room in the back kind of thing.
Maybe that's why they didn't sleep together because he keeps him in his bed.
They're going to have to do it on the couch. gross. Sorry.
Oh, man. That pretty much, I think that's pretty much a recap of this episode. It was, it seemed like everybody was talking about it online that night. You know, everybody was just like, damn, that, it was really buzzing.
I gotta say thank you to everybody on Twitter for not ruining it.
I think same here.
A few hours ago. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did pretty good, too, of not saying anything. The only thing I saw was someone had said, bye, T-Dog, or RIP, T-Dog. And I was like, really? Somebody wrote that. And that was the only thing I saw. So nothing about Lori. And that was the bigger story. So, yeah, everybody was pretty sensitive about that. So kudos to everybody online. All right. Now let's go into our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Episode 5, Season 4, called The Killer. This episode is, there's a lot going on because, the hunter, Connor, got away from the last episode and he goes to who's the guy? The dean, or that professor, Professor Shane, and asks, why'd you send me? And so this professor knows more. And he claims to be able to tell Connor what's going on with his marks, but he has to kill more vampires. And, you know, that's why I sent you to Mystic Falls, because there's like a ton of vampires there. It's crawling everywhere. And he's like, oh, fine. I have to go kill more in order to get more, you know, the tattoos revealed on my body. So he goes back to Mystic Falls and then he just grabs Jeremy and says, hey, I need you. And then. And then, you know, as collateral damage, April comes into Mystic Falls to talk to Matt. And so he just basically captures all three of them and then sends a text message out to all the vampires. Hey, get over here or I'm going to kill Jeremy and all these people.
Way to be direct.
Yeah, way to be direct. So what did we think about the way it all unfolded with Stefan not telling the secret because Klaus told him not to, or otherwise he's going to kill him. And Stefan, you know, tries to convince everybody that he knows what he's doing, but I just think he did a really bad job. I mean, what did you guys think about this?
Yeah, Stefan didn't know what he was doing. He should have been a little bit more honest about his plans because it seemed like he didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And did anybody else feel like April is the new Matt?
Yes! Yeah. It's so true!
It's terrible.
It's so true. I feel like, okay, now Matt is in the clear of being, you know, the oblivious one who is like collateral damage. I feel like, well, now Matt knows kind of how to defend himself. He doesn't have a ring, does he?
No. Matt? No, I don't believe so.
Isn't there another one floating out there, though? I mean, because Alaric had one. Who else had? Didn't somebody have? Oh, and then Alaric had one and Jeremy already had one. So isn't there an extra one? Or oh, no, that's the one that got, never mind, infused into the.
Yeah. I mean, at some point in the story, and I think it's okay to say this out of order, but at some point Jeremy gives April a little charm to wear on her bracelet. And then Matt's like, oh, yeah, you should wear it. It looks good on you. And it leads me to believe that that yeah. is a protection charm. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Isn't it vervain, I think.
It was vervain. Even the hunter actually pointed it out on Jeremy's arm and said, oh, yeah, I see you with that vervain bracelet on, running around with that. I know what you're up to. So yeah. Eventually, Jeremy just gave it to April and said, hey, here you go. It's time that nobody is just oblivious to what's going on anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I kind of feel, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, that this episode was a little sloppy in the way that, you know, everything was sort of hidden from Damon and Elena, and... therefore, Stefan was stumbling. I mean, I know why they had to do certain things, but I thought the way it all kind of was executed was kind of sloppy. And it kind of frustrated me because Elena and Damon were like, God, why are you acting like this, Stefan? Stefan's like, no, we got to do it my way. And then he's on the phone with Klaus and they're like, why are you talking to Klaus? And it just seemed, I mean, I know that time was of the essence, you know, but I don't know. I didn't feel like it was a normal sort of clean, really strong way that they do their storytelling.
However, it did make it a strong case for the way that Damon almost ripped Stefan's heart out. Like, he almost killed Stefan.
Yeah, but I think at that point I was so annoyed. That was such an important scene, but I was so annoyed with the way it all played out that I was like, oh, Damon, ugh. Again, ruining it, you know, because I don't know. I don't blame him, though,
because obviously Stefan was sloppy and obviously hiding something. And when it comes to Klaus being involved, it's like, I knew it was kind of predictable.
That was my problem. Yeah. That was my problem with it all. That, of course, Damon's going to act this way. And so that's why it's annoying that, oh, he doesn't really know. And I don't know. I just didn't like it. I was really, really frustrated until the end of the episode when more things happen, you know?
Yeah.
I just...
Well, that story is over.
Yeah, I felt like that too.
Did you really? Okay. I thought it was just me because I was like, I should not be annoyed at Damon. I should be on his side, but I was annoyed that he was in the way. And then Elena doesn't know what the hell is going on. And then she goes and kills the hunter and, well, forget it. There's the, you know.
Yeah, so this entire endeavor that was happening over the last two episodes of keeping Elena alive or turning her back into being human was kind of like a non-story anymore. Like, it's all over because she killed Connor. So now what? Was that like a waste of the last two episodes? Or at least the plot for keeping her alive.
I did. Now, if you go on to the Vampire Diaries YouTube channel, I did watch a scene for next week's episode. And spoiler alert, but Klaus is back at Mystic Falls and he calls Stefan and he's like, okay, are you going to kill me? And blah, 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 this conversation. He's like, well, there were five of them. There's four other bloodline, so I'm sure it's just going to take centuries to find the others, but we've got lots of time, so so I guess, you know, that'll help in, you know, carrying on this storyline, because there are four other hunters in this. That's anyway, I just happened to watch it before we recorded, so that's how I know. But yeah, so Klaus is in Italy trying to find the sword that Rebecca had revealed was with one of, you know, her ex-boyfriend, lover, whatever. And he's just like he's so funny. He's on the phone, he's calling, talking to Stefan, here's what you do. And then later he's talking to Tyler, like, oh, I'm going to tell Caroline all about, you know, the girl, blah, 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 blah. And of course she hears the conversation on the phone because she has really super good hearing. But so let's go ahead and go to Caroline and Tyler's story really quick. What is she's so jealous? What'd you guys think?
She's so jelly. Ooh.
Jelly.
She's jelly of Haley. Because, well, I mean, well, just like you said, she overhears this conversation about the girl, and then Haley actually walks in, and Caroline's like, oh, who are you? And Haley's like, oh, you must be Caroline, the girlfriend. And mm-hmm. Caroline obviously gets very defensive because she's never heard a peep from Tyler about Haley.
And she, Haley, I guess, was acting somewhat standoffish to Caroline. She was like, she oh, I'm the mature. Yeah, she was like, I don't do drama. You know, I'm the mature 20-something, and you're the, you know, little teenage girl that has she's so much drama in her life.
Oh, I hate how she calls him Ty.
See, oh, like, yeah.
Even though Tyler said nothing happened in between them, I feel like they wouldn't be on these like cutesy little nickname terms and be kind of touchy-feely with each other like they are, unless something actually did happen.
Totally. I agree.
But Tyler insists that nothing happened, and he says that he wants Klaus to think that something happened because he'd rather him think that than know the truth, which is, I'm not sure what exactly.
Oh, that they are building an army or something. They're trying to break the sire. He's trying to help a bunch of them break the sire bond because he did successfully. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get more people, right? And so they want to try and stand up to
Klaus. That does make sense. Yeah, like he's supposed to be starting some revolution so that Klaus's army is useless to Klaus. I mean,
I don't know why I laughed when you said revolution, but it's true.
Revolution. Werewolf
when he said that to Caroline, Caroline definitely felt a little bit better. You could see it in her face, but at the same time, I'm still a little iffy on Haley.
Me too. I think she likes Tyler, so she's totally gonna get up in his grill at one point and be like, "Remember when we?" I'm sure she's gonna use like, you know, past stories. Remember when we did this, Tyler? Remember when we did that, Tyler? And I don't know.
They chose a great actress for this role.
Okay, she was on The Secret Circle, is that right?
Yeah, in The Secret Circle, she played this, pardon my somewhat French, but she played a really slutty chick, so.
Yeah.
So she plays this role pretty well.
Oh, man. So that's cool that at least Tyler has a purpose and a plan. I kind of like that. That part of this whole episode did not bug me. I thought, okay, this is good. Kind of like this. Okay, going back to the problems at Mystic Grill, how did you guys feel when Elena finally killed Connor?
Predictable, again.
Sad for her.
Yeah.
Because she's so scared and she's so depressed and she hates her life so much, like she said at the beginning when she was writing in her diary. And she, you know, she doesn't want to kill anybody, not even a bad guy. This isn't who she is. And when she did that, she broke down. I just felt so bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad too, but at the same time, it's like she was so angry. She's trying to protect Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, how could you do that to my brother? So it's like, that's why I said it's like, oh, it's predictable that this would happen, especially when the Salvatore brothers are busy, you know, having their pissing contest over who's supposed to know what. I knew that was going to happen. I also felt bad for her, but more for scared for her because I know that Stefan was warning people or that, you know, once she got this far, once she killed somebody, that would be it. She was just going to break after that.
And yeah.
They wouldn't get her back. So this is now they are at that point. And for the rest of the episode, you don't hear from Elena. Like, she's just stuck in her room.
Right.
Won't talk to anybody, won't eat or anything.
And then she has the weird dream where she hears something and then she goes to the bathroom and then there's like blood all over the place and it's killer.
She feels guilty.
Yeah.
So she's gonna turn it off.
Yes, she is seeing things and that's actually important to the next episode. Jeremy now, you know, what did you guys think about when he when they show the tattoo on his arm?
I was like, that makes sense. That means that when Connor found his tattoo, that means the guy who taught him about it had died, I think.
So I guess Jeremy is in the line? He is a hunter. I think we knew that, right?
Doesn't that make him part of the five now?
Yes.
Because he's the newest Sith,
so,
you could say.
So when one dies, one is born, just like in Buffy.
Ah, true. So the Gilbert line, or Jeremy's line, you know, because Elena was adopted, he comes from a line of hunters, I guess.
Yep.
So maybe we'll find out more about that, you know, and, you know.
I wonder how much she has to listen to his destiny or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, right.
Because up until this point, he didn't want to help Connor. He, you know, he knows that his sister is a vampire. Like, right. Why would he help?
So what do we think about the professor at this point who's helping Bonnie? I mean, we know he's got ulterior motives, but I mean, do we know he's super bad, or do we know yet? I'm not quite sure.
I keep thinking he's going to make the moves on Bonnie.
Put the moves on Bonnie?
Yeah. Seems like almost borderline inappropriate.
Right. She's like not even in college. Wait, no, she's in college. She is in college. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it is kind of inappropriate. I have to agree. But, it does feel like that's going to happen.
I feel kind of like the professor, he's helping her, but we know that he's working with the baddies, so maybe he's helping her to get her to help them, help the bad guys.
I don't think that the story would go any other way.
Yeah, I can see Bonnie being one of the ones that would actually help the bad guys against the vampires, given her past.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's protecting her. He told Connor, while Connor was alive, to go back to Mr. Grill and that he's harboring a witch and she is not to be harmed under any circumstances. And he's talking about Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody can harm Bonnie. He's going to try to keep her safe. But
yeah.
I think for, obviously, his own reasons. We don't know what those reasons are yet, but
yeah.
Something sneaky.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure if I think he's completely bad or what, but he sure isn't in a positive light right now.
Not yet.
I guess, do we cover everything? I mean, that's pretty much everything that happened in the episode. Next week, I don't know if you guys got caught the preview yet, but essentially the vision that Elena had in the bathroom is a direct result for killing a hunter, vampire
there's a
hunter.
Consequence.
Yes,
for so, killing after.
Yeah, so Klaus is on the phone with Stefan, like, oh yeah, you didn't know about that, like. Oh, God.
Duh, of course.
And Stefan's like, what are you talking about? So Elena's going to go through more stuff. So not only was this bad for her own self, you know, self-worth, her self-being, knowing how Elena is, as we talked about earlier, but it's also bad because there's even more consequences to her killing Connor. But the shining light to this whole situation is that she's going to get some help, and it's coming from Catherine. Did
Josh
you miss me?
Be so excited.
Oh my God. I was so excited to see Catherine in that preview. I'm like, no way. Yes. So this is exactly what we were talking about. Like, oh, is someone going to help her? Who only knows what she's going through? And we're like, I wonder if Catherine's going to come back. And now it seems like this is exactly the perfect situation that Catherine can help her. So who knows? Did Catherine go
through
this?
I wonder how she gets back that. Like, who's going to call her? And like, how is she summoned? I want to figure that out. Like, is it going to be Stefan who calls her back? Or
no, I think it's Damon. Don't you think it's going to be?
I guess so.
I think it's Damon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Damon is into very radical ways of helping Elena. So
yeah, I feel like Stefan.
That's a good guess.
I don't feel like Stefan wants to see Catherine ever again. You know, he does. He barely wants any help from anybody. You know, Stefan's so stubborn about this whole thing. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I just think that maybe it's Damon. Because aren't Damon and Catherine,
they're kind of cool.
They're kind of okay right now. I mean, she just kind of just took off. But last we saw, they were okay.
I thought right? that she and Stefan were okay.
Oh, did I mix that
she
up?
She dropped him off in the car after she
helped, that's right.
To kill Klaus's dad.
Oh, so maybe it is Stefan. Maybe Stefan does call. Well, we'll find out pretty soon.
Well,
it's not going to be Klaus.
Yeah, I mean, Stefan is out of moves because now his plan to fix Elena has been foiled. So I guess this could be the next desperate
step. Maybe this is his desperate step. You're right. Maybe it is Stefan. Anyway, I'm really excited to see Catherine next week because finally.
Yeah. About time. I mean, what episode is this? Like episode five, four, five?
Yeah, this is
five.
Yeah.
It's like almost half the season's done already.
I know.
I feel like.
Well, but we didn't see her for like half of last season. She kind of took off after Papa Original woke up. And then, remember, we thought she got eaten in the cave, but no, she's fine. Catherine is like a survivor. Yeah. You know, I feel like you play the song, I'm a survivor, you know, with Catherine, you know. Somehow she just finds a way to just, she's been doing it for so long. She's so good at it. I can't imagine her dying, you know. But I don't know. Her attitude's just, she's just funny, you know. Like
she knows what number one is.
She herself.
Preserve herself, yep.
Well, okay, I guess that's it for this episode or this recap for The Vampire Diaries. Let's see. Just, we have one comment on our blog. Great show, lady. This is from last week's episode. But where has Josh been? His Buffy references are sadly missed. I agree with your assessment of Snow White movie with Kristen Stewart. It was just a mediocre film and nothing special. I'm looking forward to your Breaking Dawn 2 review. Thanks for the great podcasting. You have fans in France. Although we laugh a little at the pronunciation of the wine labels. Of course you do. I'm terrible. But thank you for listening. Yeah, Josh is, he was supposed to write, and then I don't know what happened. If he's still writing, I think he is.
But also he's, since he's dedicated the month of November to writing his novel, he's probably not caught up either on any of the shows. So I think we'll probably hear from him in December, I want to say.
Hopefully. Yeah. I think, it's November is National Writing Month. And so there's a lot of people who use November to write like a mini novel. And they have to write like, there's a whole app and there's a whole social network for this. And it's called NaNoWriMo. And you have to write a certain amount of words every day. And then, you know, you supposedly complete your novel at the end, or you could just keep writing if you want, really, but it just forces you to write every single day. And that's what he's doing. So, that's NaNoWriMo. Is anybody doing NaNoWriMo? I'm not.
No.
I just started a new job. I'm too busy.
Things are too busy. Well, very good. So, lots to look forward to in the next couple weeks for, The Vampire Diaries and The Walking Dead, and just around the corner is Being Human. So lots going on. Can't wait for it. That about wraps up this episode of Bike Club Show. Any last parting words?
Walking Dead.
I have a message to say. I have a friend from Virginia who actually wrote a book. It's on Amazon.
Oh.
It's called Semester Abroad, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Let me look. Let's see. It's Semester Abroad. And it's about all sorts of supernatural creatures, and apparently she just got published for Barnes & Noble. So I'm very excited. I'll put a link in the show notes so that we can find her book on Amazon and support her if you could.
Awesome.
Nice. What's her name?
I think her writer name is Elizabeth Kirk.
Oh, that's right. Writer names. Cool.
Yeah. Her pen name. I'll have to look up.
Yeah. I forgot about this.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back next time on Bike Club Show.
Bye.
Bye.